Hey guys, Lexi here, travel enthusiast, lover of puns, pizza and wine connoisseur, and founder of the PR Bar Inc. And you're tuning in to the Pitchin' and Sippin' podcast. From behind the scenes interviews with the media, to honest conversations with other PR pros, to a look at inspiring brands and entrepreneurs that are rocking the world of PR. In this podcast, we talk tips while taking sips and talking about all the things that make those in the world of PR tick. Let's get started. Today, we're talking with Sarah Alapin, Master Connector, CEO of Photos from the Hardy, podcast host, and CEO of District Bliss Events, a community of ambitious creatives and business owners. As an extrovert living in a work-from-home world, Sarah has found ways to leverage connections and continue to expand her multiple businesses even during the pandemic. And that's exactly what we get into on today's episode. Sarah and I dive into all things community relations and organic ways to grow your business and network. Additionally, she gives all my wedding industry folk a great pitching opportunity, and we end by talking about a hugely important actionable topic that you should be integrating into your communication strategy. All right, without further ado, let's get started. I think it was in January or February of this year when Sarah and I first met in person at an event. This was pre-COVID. She came up to me and immediately made me feel so welcome in a room full of strangers. We had been connected on Instagram, I think, for a while, but it truly felt like I had known her in real life for some time. Since then, we have collaborated with our businesses and bonded over our mutual love of wine, puns, and dogs, which tees me up perfectly for my first question. So, Sarah, we're going to get into all the career stuff here shortly, but first, can you share with us a bit about who Sarah is outside of work?
Well, you just made me laugh a little bit, and I was trying not to audibly laugh. Because when we met, I was convinced that we knew each other in person. So it's so funny that you mentioned that.
I remember that, yes.
Oh boy, those were good days.
A lifetime ago.
Oh, I know. Thank you so much for having me, Lexi. I love the PR Bar. I love you. And I just love that you're doing this. But a little bit about me. I am kind of a serial entrepreneur. My background is in photography. I have a master's degree in photography and digital imagery. And I actually got injured. So I kind of had to like pivot and change a bunch of things. And now my life consists of quarantining with my French bulldog, Clouseau. But it's been fun. So, I mean, it's not that bad. But I'm a loud laugher. I'm a feisty, spunky lady, and I definitely love my coffee and wine.
So with you there, and I know this is a podcast, so no one can see your shirt, but can you please, yes, it says half coffee, half wine, which just speaks to my soul, 100%.
I love that for you.
Thank you. I feel honored. Okay, so you are a podcast host, a photographer, and you are the CEO of District Bliss. I want to talk about all of that, but first, give us a little bit of a Sarah history. So talk us through your career. What led you to becoming this triple threat that you are today?
Triple threat. Ooh, I love it. I'm going to have to put that in my bio.
Do it.
So I am an extrovert living in a work from home life. I was a darkroom photography teacher and I got injured at work and I couldn't go back, unfortunately. So I ended up, you know, I had started my photography business as a side hustle years before that. And then I could continue with photography, but not with teaching. So I did a little bit of a pivot into just full-time photography. Well, a lot of what you need when you're starting a business is a community of people. And then you also need people that you can bounce ideas off of, you can get ins and outs on, and, you know, really just like referral partners too. And so I started going to networking events and I got a lot of the, oh, I'm a photographer too, so I don't need to know you. And then turning around and like icing me out of the circle. And that's just not my jam because I'm not everybody's ideal photographer. Not everyone's my ideal client. And I just can't take all of the work that I get. So I ended up founding District Bliss because I wanted that welcoming, warm place where you could go and get education, do networking, and just have fun and find your people. And then because I love having a lot of things on my plate, I decided that I wanted to do The Wedding Dish, which is my podcast, one of my two podcasts. Again, like I said, cannot stay busy enough. Much like you, Lexi, now that I think about it. And when I started The Wedding Dish, it was sort of to create a community where engaged couples, married couples, and entrepreneurs could kind of come together to ask questions, get information, get inspiration, and really find out about some of the nitty-gritty stuff that goes into weddings and building a business in the wedding industry. Since I'm primarily a wedding photographer, although District Bliss isn't wedding related.
Well, okay. So tell us a bit more about what District Bliss really is. I know it's a lot of things, but for anyone listening who doesn't know a thing about us, catch us up to speed.
Okay. So District Bliss is a community of entrepreneurs and creative small business owners, and we support each other. We have business roundtables. We offer tons of education. We have networking socials that even in an online world feel like it's in person because I need that in my life. And I built a company that provided the things that I needed because I figured everyone else does too. And so it's just a really lovely, warm place where you can get business building resources, inspiration, education, and then also really feel like you've found your people. Every time we have an event, somebody comes away after like a networking event, they'll say, I can't believe that there are people like me out there and I had no idea. And it's really it's a way to connect, a way to build, and a way to really like accelerate your business without compromising the fun.
One element of PR that I'm a huge fan of is what I call community relations, aka your brand's relationship with different communities. Now, this can be a physical community like the city you live in, or it can be virtual, like a Facebook group, or it can be a hybrid like District Bliss. So can you speak a little bit more to the importance of establishing strong community relationships in business?
It's one of the most important things in business, and it is so commonly overlooked. Because we all have that idea of networking is work, right? So we get this anxiety immediately when we hear that word. And we're like, oh God, I don't want to leave the house, or oh, I don't want to be on camera again. Like half the day is already on camera at this point. But building my business, the reason that I have been so successful across the board is because I've built community. And if there's anything that I need, a referral to a bookkeeping person, or information about hiring a VA, or how to build out your team and actually train them so that you don't end up then scaling back down if you fail with the first person on your team. Having those people that you can reach out to is invaluable. It is more important than taking workshops online. It's more important than getting out there and attending events, just, you know, to show your face or whatever. Building that community where you trust, support, and uphold, you know, you bring each other up. Whether or not you are competitors per se, doesn't you know, like I said before, I am not everyone's ideal client. Not everyone is my ideal client, and I'm not the perfect fit for every job out there. And it's so important. I mean, client care even to refer. If someone is not my ideal client, and I refer to another photographer that they will be the ideal client for, and that they'll be a better fit for, then that's client care. I mean, that makes me look great. I may get a referral from that person later because they had such a good experience and they didn't even hire me. And there's huge value in that.
I could not agree more. In fact, one of the main strategies that I've used personally to grow the PR bar is community relations. It's so important. I cannot stress that enough. And that kind of brings us to one of the things we collaborated on, which was an event on how to build a media kit. And I know if you go on your website, one thing that you outline is you offer brands the ability to apply to co-host an event or workshop with your community as a form of promotion. So can you walk us through the details and strategy behind why hosting an event is essentially great PR?
Oh my gosh, it's such good PR. I mean, you're standing on the shoulders of giants when you're collaborating with other people. As long as you're collaborating with someone that is going to support you and who actually does the other half of the collaboration, you know, you don't just go out there and reach out to anyone who has followers on Instagram and think it's going to work. You should definitely find the people who are in your niche, who are, you know, going to get you in front of your ideal clients. But that being said, you are essentially elevating each other. You're getting your business in front of a completely different community. Before this, Lexi, the PR Bar Inc. and District List did not have any crossover in community. Well, actually, that's not true. We had two people, I think, that were in both of our communities. Shout out to Jess Jaswick and
Lee
Hodges.
Yes.
I love them. They're wonderful. But it's interesting to get in front of other people's audiences, and then you're able to showcase yourself as an expert. And you, after that event, you booked at least one other speaking gig. You got two killer testimonials that I'm aware of. And you, I'm sure, gained traction in other ways. And today, you happen to be taking over my Instagram, so hopefully you'll see some traction for that too. So collaborating on events like that really gives you traction in different ways that you may not have gotten before. It's always worth it to collaborate if you are collaborating with the right people.
Again, couldn't agree more. And I have to give you a huge compliment, because yet another thing that you are freaking on top of is garnering testimonials. When we look at testimonials from a PR lens, they serve as a great form of social proof. So can you speak maybe to the importance of social proof for a business and why, you know, that has become a regular thing that you ask from your partners for District List?
Yes. I have so much insight into testimonials. Social proof. If I recommend the PR Bar Inc., it's so different than if Lexi recommends her own brand. So essentially, a testimonial is someone else doing the selling for you. They're saying, hey, I hired this person, or I bought this and I went through this and it was amazing and you should do it too. Instead of saying, hi, this is why I'm so great all the time.
Yeah.
That's when we start to feel salesy, and that's when entrepreneurs start to take their foot off the gas, because you don't want to feel slimy or salesy. Testimonials remove that friction. So it's so amazing to, you know, it's someone else selling your brand, your products, your services for you. And one of the reasons that we get them so quickly and such good testimonials is that we actually offer link backs for testimonials. So the PR Bar Inc. has, I think, like four different link backs across the District Bliss Academy, which is on hosted on Teachable. So that's a completely different like server even, two places on our website, I believe even in our blog. So because we also have the testimonial about your workshop. So it gives you this, you know, all of this SEO, which is search engine optimization, because you're getting all of this cross traffic that's coming from my site, but also Google loves it. They love to see that you're linking to other people's stuff and that other people have links to you. So it's actually good for both sides SEO.
So Sarah is nailing on a huge benefit of PR, and that is this, not only the third party credibility, right? Someone else saying you're cool is more important or more effective than you saying you're cool, but also backlinks, right? And she's so right. I'm nodding my head this whole time. I am winning because I get all these awesome backlinks through this collaboration, through her community. So just SEO, one thing I don't think people usually think about is PR and SEO are very related. SEO is a PR strategy. So anyways, just everything you're saying, I'm nodding my head too. I have one more final question here, and then I want to shift to talk about your podcasts. So what have you found to be the most effective way to organically spread the awareness about District Bliss?
Well, there are two.
Okay.
So I'm cheating already.
No, I like two. Two is better than one.
Because we have such solid SEO, our blog has been a huge hit. That was one of the ways that we first took off, because if you have 700 words and several links and you're using headers on your blogs, then Google loves to crawl that. I'm increasing the amount that I'm sharing. But then I also can repurpose that onto my social media, which is the other way we've grown. And we've gotten bigger now because of social media, I think, and the blog is taking a backseat to that. But it's so easy to repurpose my blog content into bite-sized pieces and put it on my social media over the course of a week. And it's the one blog. So I'm not writing twice and I'm giving tons of valuable information. So I'm not asking for anything. I'm giving something. And that's why people come back. They know that we're here to give support. We're here to provide information. We're not asking you to necessarily attend anything. If you can get what you need from our social media or our blog, then it's like, hell yeah, do your thing. And that's kind of, so that's, those two things have been, I guess they fall under the umbrella of providing services and giving resources. But yeah, social media and the blog are probably the two biggest ways we've grown the business.
Is there a specific social media platform that has been more successful?
Instagram, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Awesome.
Okay. So now I want to shift gears a little bit. You briefly mentioned it. You are the host of two podcasts. Yes. Is that correct? Because one isn't enough. Let's do two. So can you tell us, you already talked a little bit about The Wedding Dish, but can you tell us about the other one?
Okay.
Which is my favorite thing ever, by the way.
So my other podcast is called Laughing with Gingers. I know you can't see me, but I am a redhead. And my co-host is also a redhead, and we happen to be super loud laughers. Just really, for some reason, we laugh a lot and we laugh loud. And so we did for a long time these business brainstorming sessions on Fridays. And then I got off the call one time and I was like, why don't we just do a podcast? It has nothing to do with business. It's just fun. It is the greatest like dopamine hit ever, because you're basically just making each other laugh the whole time. So your brain is just like on fire with happiness afterwards. So it's great. But we have guests that come on, but they have to wear something red on their head if they're not redheads, so they can be honorary redheads. And like Yesterday, it was a fireman. Earlier this week, the episode that'll drop at the end of the week was Owlette or something from the PJ Mask. I don't know. It's like a cartoon something. I don't know what it is. I don't have kids, so or I might not have time for my million jobs and podcasts. Right.
Well, you have a fur child, so in my world that counts. I just to give everyone some context, when Sarah and I were talking, when I asked her to be on this podcast, she mentioned her podcast and she said, but there's a caveat. If you come on the podcast, you have to have a red wig. And I was just so thrown off. I think it's the funniest thing ever. I am so down to get a red wig. I have a brown one, but I don't have a red one. So I'll just put it on the, you know, it's a business expense, right? I can put that on my company credit card.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you get to plug your business on there too, even though it's not business related.
I just think it'd be fun. I love it. So I know that one was for fun. The Wedding Dish. Now, was the intention of launching that in any way related to developing your business?
So it wasn't necessarily intentionally related. I had always wanted to do a podcast, and weddings is really like one of my areas of expertise, and it's really only used when I'm doing the photography portion of my life. And I don't, I'm in a position where I don't have to take on every wedding that comes my way. Another really awesome thing as you build out businesses, you get to be picky about your clients if you do it right. So I only take on clients that I absolutely love, and I don't really get to exercise that like wedding expertise in my normal everyday life. So the idea of doing a podcast where I got to share that with a greater audience was really exciting to me. I had a kind of a unique wedding because we had a pre-COVID, we were on way on the top of the trends because we had a pre-COVID wedding in 2012 with 17 guests.
Oh man, you saw it coming.
We were so ahead of the curve. We just wanted to do something small, but we wanted to have the real wedding experience. And when I was going through that process, the resources weren't there to really navigate it. So I hired a planner and she did a lot. She helped a lot. But the idea that you can get the wedding day that you actually want, where you're not looking back and saying, oh, I shouldn't have just relied on Pinterest or some of those other things where everyone's kind of doing the same thing, even though you think it's unique at the time, is, you know, that's kind of the goal, like to support everyone for whatever the shape and size and look and vibe of their wedding is. And same with business, you know, getting the idea that there are businesses out there that focus primarily on regional weddings that are Nigerian weddings, because they have very specific, huge, amazing celebrations that span over several days. It's not necessarily easy to find people that are really skilled in that kind of thing. So it's really fun to highlight businesses that have these niches that you didn't even necessarily know exist.
Yeah. So can I ask you this to put you on the spot? Are you open to being pitched if we have any listeners who are within the wedding industry? Okay. So who listening would qualify as someone you'd like to hear from?
So we interview engaged couples, we interview married couples, and because we talk about the planning process and that kind of thing, but we also interview businesses. And the qualification really is a positive attitude, well-spoken, and not like, I'm not into the kind of person that's just a money grabber. Like you need to be like an expert in your field. You need to be heart-centered in some capacity. That's not saying that you aren't making money. You should be making money. If you're running a business, please be making money. It's that you shouldn't be one of those people who's just saying like, you know, turning around and walking away from me because I'm a photographer and you're a photographer. You should be a good person. Otherwise we just won't have that great of a conversation and you won't be a great fit for the podcast because it won't make either of us sound, you know, good.
So here's my tip to all you listeners. If you are within the business or the wedding industry, re-listen to the last 2 minutes and take some notes on everything that Sarah just said so you can nail your pitch. Okay, so I want to shift gears one more time because during our event together, which was in July of 2020, you and your team opened my eyes to this whole new concept of accessibility made easy. So first, can you high level tell me what it means to make content accessible?
Yes, because the common misconception with accessibility is that it's just your website, that your website works for screen readers or, you know, and even like colorblindness or different, you know, in deficiencies. Those are the two things we think of when we think of accessibility, or we think of having ramps or elevators, right? Like we don't think about something like a podcast being accessible to the deaf. And my podcasts, both of them are actually accessible to the deaf and hearing impaired communities. Everything's transcribed. It's super easily available on our websites and in the show notes and things. So it's really like you can actually be part of it. If you are deaf, and I have to give Aaron, my business manager for all of my businesses and my producer for The Wedding Dish, props for this because she's taught me so much. Her business is called MabelEQ, and she actually has an accessibility made easy course that she just built out for people. So when we host workshops and things, we make sure that everyone puts on closed captions at the bottom so that it's accessible both during the workshop and when we repurpose the video into the District Bliss Academy. And we make sure that people have visual aids on the slides because of the different types of learning. You know, some of us are kinesthetic learners, some of us are auditory learners, some of us are visual learners. And having the combination of those things allows us to serve the greatest number of people. And it also, I think it's impactful to other business owners because it really does showcase that we not only have our finger on the pulse of what needs to be done in our society to be, you know, successful and inclusive, but also to really like, we're a value-centered, community-centered organization. So that really shows that we're not just saying that, we are that. That is, you know, that is who we are. And I, Lexi, I'm sure you can speak to how it felt for you to experience that as a collaborator of ours.
It blew my mind. It had never been on my radar, just to be completely transparent, that that was even an option. And for example, guys, when I was working with Sarah and her team, they asked if I would build out my PowerPoint slides in Google Slides because Google is ahead of the game and they allow you to click a little button that does closed caption. So I highly encourage anyone listening who does presentations to look at Google Slides. Hopefully the rest of the platforms catch up soon. And I wanted to bring this up because as we talk about developing our communication strategies as business owners, it is so freaking important to think about inclusivity. Now, I'm not saying market to everyone because when you start marketing to everyone, you fall, you know, to the, you speak to no one. But what I am saying is it's really important to not forget about making your business accessible. Do you have any, and this is my last little question before we begin to wrap it up. If someone wants to learn more about how to be accessible, where's a great first place to go or to start?
Absolutely go to Erin's website. It's MabelEQ.com. And I'm going to spell that because I know that this is a podcast and I can give you the link, but most of you might be running or on, you know, doing something while you're listening. So it's MABELYQ.com. And it's Erin Perkins is the CEO. And she has a little tab up there that says resources, and she has resources for transcription, and everything she does is bootstrapping it. So it's not meant to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars that you don't have as an entrepreneur, quite frankly, to make your business successful. It's doing little things like, $1.99 for an app that puts captions on your Instagram stories. Who can, you know, of course I'm going to pay that. That makes my life so much easier. I don't have to type it out. I actually personally don't love that app or either of the apps because they put an H on my name and I just hate that they can't spell my name.
She is Sarah without an H. Everyone listen, if you're pitching her, do not put that H.
Secret thing about me is that if you continue to spell my name incorrectly, I will start inserting H's into your name somewhere.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I love that so much.
So I'll put an H on the end of Lexi.
People spell my name wrong all the time too, because Lexi can be spelled 5 different ways. So I do relate to you in that for sure.
And also actually Erin is spelled E-R-I-N, but they do the boy Erin on Google Slides and on some of the transcription softwares and stuff. So it's not perfect, but we're not going for perfection. We're going for doing what we can to be better and to reach more people and to serve more people and just to do the right thing. So she has, you know, Otter.ai is one of her transcription softwares. It records the audio and it transcribes. And I use it when I take workshops online, because how often do you miss stuff when you are taking a workshop? And then I can go back and I'm like, oh, that's what they said, if I'm taking notes. So it's helpful for a million different reasons, but that will allow you to transcribe your podcast. It's like $6.99 a month for so many minutes that you could never even use them all. So this is, again, all like bootstrap budget, and it's AI. You're not sending this to like a human. It's not going to be perfect, but you can edit it and make it perfect. And they keep the audio with it so that you can hear what it says. Like, you know, if it said, the other day it transcribed Erin to say, I'm their number one killer, when she said, Cheerleader,
killer, same thing, right? Killer cheerleaders.
But it dropped the audio on the end of cheer or on the end of leader or something. Like it dropped in there. So it sounded like killer to the transcript. So you do have to read it. You know, it's not like you can just turn around and throw it up online, but it's super easy and it's super easy to adjust it.
I think it's so, so important. And before we go, I have one more question for you that I like to ask every single guest. And I remind you that my podcast is called Pitchin' and Sippin'. So we've talked about the pitchin'. Now I have to ask what you are sippin'. So what is your favorite beverage? It can be non-alcoholic or alcoholic of choice.
I am really in the mood for a Chablis today.
What is that?
The delightful French white wine that's very light and crisp.
I tell you every single time I ask this question, a word or a cocktail or something I've never heard of comes out, and I thought I knew things. I have so much to learn. That sounds lovely, though.
It's so funny what you learn when you actually sit down and have conversations.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to look that one up too, adding it to my list. Sarah, thank you so much. Last thing before we head off, can you tell everyone where they can connect with you and learn more about District Bliss?
I feel like I should make a website that just has links to all the crap that I do.
Because you do 20 million things. Yes.
So my photography company, if you are interested, is Photos from the Hearty, H-A-R-T-Y, a riff on my maiden name. And you can find District Bliss at districtbliss.com or at District Bliss Events on social media. and Laughing with Gingers. You can find at Laughing with Gingers or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And The Wedding Dish, you can find at theweddingdish.com or theweddingdishpodcast.com. And you can find that anywhere that you listen to your podcast. So across the board, they're available on all formats. And if you need the transcripts, they are available.
Thank you so much, Sarah. You've been awesome as always.
Thank you. I love that you're doing this amazing podcast. So many tips, so many awesome business professionals that you're bringing together. I just really admire you so much, Lexi, and thank you for continuing to give so much value to the community.
Hey guys, if you are enjoying the Pitchin' and Sippin' podcast, please do me a huge favor and leave a review wherever you are listening. If you want to connect with me to learn more about the PR Bar Inc., you can do so on Instagram at @theprbar_inc, or you can check out my website at theprbarinc.com. Cheers!